Local historian and storyteller Brian Fox Ellis has spent a lot of time looking into and telling stories about the Illinois River. In this episode of WCBU's history series, Postmark Peoria, correspondent Steve Tarter talks to Ellis about the role the river played before central Illinois residents had electricity in their homes. It served a vital purpose in winter as a supplier of ice.
It's hard to believe today, but back in the late 1800s early 1900s, when the ice business was booming, the Illinois River was surprisingly clear and clean. There are places, especially on some of the backwater sloughs that are now all silted in, where the water was 20 or 30 feet deep and you could see the pebbles and rocks on the bottom. And there was a great profusion of water lilies and other aquatic plants because the sunlight could penetrate the water. It wasn't as murky or muddy as it appears today. And so ice off the Illinois River was highly valued, and it was a major industry. Just a couple of numbers off the top of my head. Detweiler had a warehouse that would hold more than 10,000 tons, 10,000 tons of ice, which you do the math, was more than 21 million pounds. And of course, they sold it by the pound.
Wow. And then we're talking about Henri Detweiler, the riverboat captain and entrepreneur and many other things.
Yes.
But there were others doing that too, right?
Right. So Detweiler started as a riverboat deckhand and became a captain, then owned his own boat, and his fortunes grew from there. But then after the Civil War in the 1870s, he partnered with another Peoria well-known name, Woodruff. Yes, the guy the school was named after, who was a mayor forever. And so Detweiler and Woodruff started an ice house together. And Woodruff continued on his own when Detweiler kind of broke away and started his own warehouse. And Woodruff made a fortune in the ice industry as well as Detweiler. And they were amicable competitors, because when Woodruff was mayor, he invited Detweiler to be the city treasurer. So they continued to work together on a couple of projects.
Now, what was involved? We were talking with Brian Fox Ellis, who's, well, you hold many, many titles here: historian, storyteller, author, singer, just environmentalist. We could go on, but we're talking with Brian about the Illinois River as the sort of the refrigeration capital of central Illinois. What was involved in getting ice out of the river? You mean a team of horses go out there and they cut it, or how did that work?
Well, that's the other thing that's a little hard to believe with our recent spate of mild winters. But the river would freeze very thick enough that indeed a team of horses and wagons could go out, and a team of men with very large saws. I imagine, well, you can see pictures online, I'm sure, of the saws were like the saws that the lumbermen used to cut down the redwood trees. I mean, these are huge saws that would then cut blocks of ice. And then these blocks, typically a couple of foot square, would be loaded onto the wagons. And then the wagons on sleds instead of wheels. So the sleds would then haul the ice to the shore. And where Detweiler Marina stands today is where Detweiler's warehouse was. And this ice would be packed in together and layers of sawdust for insulation. And it was enough kind of... the ice kept itself cold. Temporal inertia, I think, is a term I might be making up, but the temperature had enough inertia. It was enough cold ice to keep itself cold that it would last even through the hottest summers. And it was not only important for central Illinois. Detweiler had a contract with Anheuser-Busch in St. Louis, because Busch beer from the mountains — there are no mountains in St. Louis, by the way — he preferred ice from the Illinois River than the muddy Mississippi. And so Detweiler's fortunes grew once he signed that contract with Busch.
And let's take it another step. So you have these vast warehouses like Detweiler's filled with ice, and you have the, I don't know if there were ice women, but the ice men cometh. Right. I mean, they delivered to homes that had ice boxes.
Yeah, it was seasonal work in the winter to go out and cut the ice. People weren't buying much ice in the winter because they could, you know, leave things on their back porch or what have you. But then it was seasonal work the rest of the year to deliver that ice. And yeah, the ice trucks coming around was great fun because as I've heard, the Iceman cometh. That's a bad kind of comparison, but knowing the content of that movie. But the Iceman would come around the neighborhood and he had a little scraper so that he could scrape the surface of the of this huge ice cube to get some shavings that he would then give to kids, and the kids would follow the ice truck around and everybody looked forward to getting like a snow cone from the Iceman, in addition to the couple of blocks he would leave in your house.
How long did this go on? When the Iceman and the delivery of ice, I mean, I don't need a finite time, but did it run into the 30s or?
Yeah, that's a great question, Steve. I cannot pinpoint, but I know that Detweiler was involved in the 1870s with Illinois' growing ice business, and definitely until refrigeration and rural electrification, which happened under Roosevelt during the Depression. So yeah, mid-30s into the 40s, I would say even.
You know, I won't say recent because it's you know, we're talking about 80, 90 years ago, but still it's not, you know, sort of out of the frame of reference anymore. And it is hard to believe when we look at the Illinois River today that there was this budding industry. Of course, we haven't even talked about the fishing, which was yet another aspect of that river.
Yeah, that's another episode. But the ice business was huge, and it did employ a lot of people, and everybody had an ice box. And you're right, it wasn't that long ago, it wasn't that far away. If you go to good antique stores, sometimes you can even see the old ice boxes. And it is intriguing to me how they had this like pan or tray where they would put the ice cube, and then it was a heavily insulated wooden box that you could put your eggs and milk and vegetables or whatever in, like a modern ice box. And most people call it a refrigerator, but you still hear folks calling it the ice box because that vocabulary stuck around.
That's historian, author, and storyteller Brian Fox Ellis speaking with WCBU correspondent Steve Tarter.